that will be helpful. We're going to look at some verses there, as well as a few others as well. A forward announcement before we actually look at God's Word. That's on the 13th of January. We've got a baptismal service here on Sunday morning. Zander's going to be baptized Sunday morning, the 13th. And if there's anyone else who hasn't been baptized and you realize that you should be baptized, because the Bible makes it very clear when it says believe and be baptized. And it would be good if you could join in with Zander on that occasion. I've got some books. You've heard me say it many times before, just here. Just take it. Take one and read it. And then if you want to speak to me about being baptized on the 13th, that would be wonderful. It's good, isn't it? You know, we can think of our lives and we can think of believing and receiving the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's good because the Bible says you must be born again. And if you haven't been born again, you haven't received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's not a good position to be in. So having trusted him, which you can do now, then we can go on to seek to live a life of obedience to him. So the next step would obviously follow that we are obedient in baptism. So that's why, and one reason why we need to be baptized. So here's the books, and okay, and on the 13th, here's the water, okay, but be prepared beforehand. That would be good. Speak to me later. Baptism plug over. Are you sad about that? I can go on if you want, but we do need to respond to that, don't we? Let's pray that God will speak to us through his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We've already prayed that a miracle will take place as we study it together. And we pray that you'll give us hearts to respond as well as ears to hear. And we pray this believing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at one of the names of the Lord Jesus, or several of the names of the Lord Jesus, and he was in fact called the Prince of Peace. And I'd like us to read this these verses together. If we can, please. We've already read them this morning, but together, if we can, please. For to us... Names are important, aren't they? Names are important to us, and it's always good, isn't it, when you go and visit somebody and they call you by the right name. We had somebody staying with us for the whole weekend, and I called their daughter by the wrong name all weekend. They told me as they were leaving what her name really was. it made me feel bad, and obviously them as well. But names are really, really important, are they not? And names are important not only to us, but to God as well. Right in the very beginning, we read that God called light day, the darkness he called night, and God called the expanse sky, and God called the dry ground land, as we see in Genesis chapter 1. So names are important. He gave names to different people with particular meanings. He gave names to different people with a meaning that would match their characters. For example, we can just look at one or two to illustrate what I mean. Isaac means laughter, Jacob deceiver, Moses drawn out. But the one that we're going to zero in on this morning is Jesus, God's Son, who is the Savior of the world. Jehovah saves. And that's good news for each one of us. I know parents or parents-to-be would spend months trying to decide the name of their child or children because they know, and we all know, that names are more than just something that you call someone. And it's important to call people by name, and God knew that. And this morning we're going to look at this one, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus was given this name, in fact, 700 years before he was born. There are over 100 names in the Bible associated with the Lord Jesus. Good job, he didn't have all of them. We have to address him by all of these names. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we address him by. But over 100 names associated with the Lord Jesus. Many others are given to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is so great, he's so amazing, that we cannot express him with just one name. For to us, a child is born, a son is given. The context is very helpful, always. And it's easy to take a verse out of its context, which isn't a good thing to do. So context really, really helps. And this original birth announcement was made in the midst of gloom and grief and sadness. That's why we read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those that were in distress." For many years, people knew only grief and sadness because of the evil power of their enemy. Isaiah tells us a time was coming when the sadness and gloom would be replaced with joy, would be replaced with gladness, and Jesus will bring joy. Isn't that good news? And if our lives or your life is a bit gloomy and sad and difficult, Jesus will bring joy. That's good news for our lives. That doesn't mean to say, you know, that we have to go around with a stupid grin on our face all the time, but he gives us a deep down confidence that he is sovereign and Lord of all. So Christmas was born in the middle of grief and sadness and sorrow. When the angels were proclaiming peace on earth, Herod was preparing to destroy babies. While Mary was worshipping, other mothers were weeping for their children, as we see in Matthew 2:18. Isaiah 9, chapter verse 2, describes how the birth of Christ will bring brightness, will bring light and hope to the dark and sinful and broken world that we live. People who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And those who live in the land of the deep darkness, the light has dawned. So Jesus will bring joy and light. In fact, the Lord Jesus, referring to himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12, said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but has the light of life." Jesus is God himself in a language that we can understand. And look at Isaiah 4, 9, verse 4. And we read that the enemies of Israel had burdened the people with bars across their shoulders. And when the light of life comes, the heavy yoke of burden would be destroyed. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, this Christmas time, wants, instead of your burden, he wants to give you his blessing. So whatever that yoke upon your shoulder is, whatever that sadness or sorrow that we're going through is, Jesus wants to give you his yoke, which is easy, and his burden is light. Because in the place of the burden today, Jesus wants, God wants to bless you. Look at verse 6, Isaiah 9. It sets out the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus, because we see there his humanity and his deity. In Jesus, we see the attributes of God and the characteristics of man as well. For to us a child is born, describing his birth as a baby. To us a son is given. Jesus is the Son of God, a gift given to each one of us. And on top of all of that, the government will be upon his shoulders. All the hopes of the throne of King David were fulfilled in Christ, and in Christ alone, as we see from 2 Samuel chapter 7. So he, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to bring joy, wants to release that burden, that weight upon our shoulders, who wants to take to bless us, not to burden us even more, is in fact profound. He's the wonderful counselor. That wonderful refers to actions that are beyond all human power. And it can be translated as astonishing or amazing. So here we have this profound truth about our wonderful Savior who's beyond human power, and he is astonishing and amazing. He is the Lord Jesus. Judges 13, verse 18 translates it like this: incomprehensible, or as it reads there in verse 18, beyond understanding. Look at Psalm 118 and verse 23. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He is wonderful. He's also counselor, isn't he? And the Bible refers to a counselor as somebody who advises, or an advisor, the one who is the ideal ruler, if you like. So often, we're filled with decisions and detail and distress. What we need is a wonderful counselor. Jesus has a counsel for every crisis. So whatever crisis, whatever situation you go through, the counselor that we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems popular to get a counselor or a therapist these days, but here we have the wonderful counselor. And Jesus has a counsel for every crisis and a plan for every problem. Nothing catches God by surprise. Yeah, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Yes, we need to search the scriptures. And sometimes it's helpful to talk to a friend. But don't forget, the Lord can give you all that you need right here and right now. Psalm 16:7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. We're never alone when we're alone with Jesus. Profound Savior, wonderful Counselor. Also, he is powerful, the Almighty God, the Mighty God. And this means the Strong One, the Powerful Warrior. And this title was describing a hero. So literally, we could say about the Lord Jesus, he's God's hero. David asks a question in Psalm 24 and verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. This wonderful counselor makes the plans. The mighty God makes the plans work. Isn't that good news? The title tells us that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. The carpenter of Nazareth was the mighty architect of the universe. He is God, and he can handle anything. And John chapter 10 and verse 30 says, I and the Father are one. And Hebrews 1:8 describes the deity of the Lord Jesus when he says, about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Jesus can handle anything because he is all-powerful. The mighty God. Just think for a moment, if you would. When he was here on earth, he healed the lame and the blind and the sick. He performed miracles. He calmed the storm. He brought Lazarus back to life from the dead. Nothing is impossible with him. And he was able to do those things right here and right now for you, because Luke tells us that nothing is impossible with God. How amazing that Jesus, so profound, a wonderful counselor, powerful, a mighty God. But also, he's personal, an everlasting Father. Sometimes God seems so distant, doesn't he? Like 100 miles away, or 1,000 miles away. Seems so remote. And back then, people had no trouble in seeing and understanding that he was a powerful God. What they had a problem with is knowing him personally and having that intimate relationship with him. And today, many people would say, well, yeah, I suppose he could be powerful, but he's nothing to do with me. I'm pretty remote from him. And John 8 and verse 58, Jesus made this stunning statement. It made everybody sort of sit up and listen. Before Abraham was born, I am, he said. Jesus existed not only before Abraham, but by using the phrase I am, he was actually saying he was God, because that I am statement was reserved for God, thus declaring his deity. Jesus is a child and a son, and he is eternally one with the Father. Psalm 103, verse 13. And the Father had compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. And as we know, as we come to him in repentance and faith, we can know and have a personal, intimate relationship with the eternal Heavenly Father, and he can do anything. And then coming to our last one, we see that Jesus is not only profound and powerful and personal, but he is peaceful, Prince of Peace. This phrase could be translated, the Prince who came, or the Prince who is coming to bring peace. A prince in Bible times was the general of the army, and describes leadership and authority. And Luke 2 and verse 14 says, glory to God on the in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. To a people constantly stressed, to a people who know nothing but anxiety and disappointment, peace would be a wonderful blessing. And was in Bible times. And today, people that are stressed out, I don't mean just stressed out because of Christmas shopping and trying to get enough food to last till Easter and all in one day. I don't mean that sort of stress. There's big stresses that people go through. And wouldn't it be wonderful to know, even in the midst of that stress, the peace of God? As we come to know Jesus, He is peaceful, and he will bring peace. And Numbers 6 and verse 24, the Lord bless you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's what he wants to do today. The New Testament describes at least three aspects of peace. There's peace with God. And this is vertical. This is when we come and we pray and ask the Lord to come and take away our sin and live within our hearts. We have peace with God because our sins are forgiven. And as far as our sins, they're hideous and enormous, and over a lifetime of committing those things, as far as God is concerned, when we come to him in repentance and faith, he removes them as far as the east is from the west. He's buried them in the depth of the sea. And we have peace with God. And because of that vertical relationship, we can then have and know the peace of God experimentally, externally, if you like, in every situation. And that leads then to peace with others. When we have the peace, we have peace with God, and we experience the peace of God, we then extend it to others horizontally all around us. We make sure that there is no problem with our relationship with our brothers and sisters because we want peace in our hearts. Jesus was named 700 years before his birth. And these names and his name gives us hope for Christmas because he is profound, powerful, personal, and peaceful. Good news that we can experience that right here and right now. And God planned it all in a wonderful and intimate detail. He mobilized Roman governors and governments to call a census so that Jesus could be born in a specific place, Bethlehem. He caused a star to shine in the heavens so bright to get the attention of the astrologers living hundreds of miles away in a different country. And he unleashed the army of angels to announce the good news of the Savior's birth to some anonymous shepherds in a remote field. All at the same time. What an amazing, powerful God. He did it. All because he loved you and loved me. And his love, no one can fully fathom, but we can experience something of his amazing blessing on our life. So we need to close by thinking about the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He's profound, a wonderful counselor. The question is he your wonderful counselor? He is the mighty God, the powerful one who created the universe, who is all powerful. The question is he your mighty God? He is the everlasting Father. Do we know him personally and intimately? So that we can talk to him and he can prove to us experimentally that he is our Heavenly Father. So is he your everlasting Father? He wants to give us his personal comfort. He will become your Heavenly Father when we become his child through faith. And repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, that when this new birth, that we receive his Son, and we can do it right here and right now, because he is so peaceful, the Prince of Peace. He's looking right into your heart and life right now with a peaceful expression. Will you trust him to calm your chaos, Will you trust him and to give you peace in your pain and confusion? So in other words, is he your Prince of Peace? Somebody called Dr. S.M. Lockridge said, "Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom, the door of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the road of righteousness, the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory, the master of the mighty, the captain of the conqueror, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislator, the overseer of the overcomers, the governor of the governors, the prince of princes. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. Do you know him?" he said. Amen. I wonder if we know him as the Prince of Peace in our hearts right here and right now. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. We give you thanks and worship him together. Amen.
We're privileged at Wantage Baptist Church to be quite an international congregation, and we have people worship with us across the world, from Asia, Africa, Europe. And so we thought we'd start off with Angela and Addy just singing the first verse of Silent Night in Romanian. And then what we'll do, we'll sing it all through right from the beginning afterwards. So let's go over to Addy and Angela.
Shine.
Please be seated. If there's anything I've said you want to chat to me about, or you realize that you want to be obedient to